Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banco BPM Full Year 2021 Group Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Roberto Peronaglio, IR Manager of Banco BPM. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you everybody to be here with us for our 2021 full year presentation results. Before starting with the presentation, let me remind you can find all the slides and the press release on our website in the IR section. Let me ask you to limit only two questions for each analyst to leave room to everybody to make a question. Now I leave the floor to Mr. Castagna for the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberto. Thank you everybody for being here with us. I would start immediately on page five. Let's say that we are very glad to announce maybe the best ever results since the merger for 2021, with an adjusted net profit of over 700 million and a ROTE of 6.9%, which allow us to propose a dividend to our shareholder meetings of 50% as a payout. This is, as you know, well above the strategic plan targets and pave the way to potential further increase of the remuneration under the strategic plan horizon. Of course, this is possible thanks to the very sound result in every aspect, both in profitability, as I mentioned before, as well as in the further reduction of gross NPE, which are now down to 5.6% to 6.4 billion, 4.3% under EBA definition, with further de-risking in place for the first quarter of 2022. Also, the capital position, even considering the distribution, is very comfortable at 13.4% of common equity fully phased and with MDA buffer of 470 basis points. That's the reason why, having overcome the guidance on net profit, we have decided to also distribute more than 70 million more than the guidance, with a dividend per share which is up to 0.19 and represent 50% of the payout. On page six, basically we have over-delivered in all the aspects we mentioned in our guidance, starting from the third quarter last year. Let's say that the 2021 total revenues were more than 4.5 billion, with a guidance on 5.4 billion. PPI up to almost 2 billion, with a guidance on 1.9 billion. We already talked about sound capital ratio at 13.4%, with a guidance of 13%, as well as the cost, both operating cost, 2.5 billion as the guidance, as well as the cost of risk stated, which was 81 basis points, with a guidance between 80 and 19 basis points. Let me remind that the core cost of risk, without considering extraordinary provisioning for the de-risking, was down to 55 basis points. We already spoke about net income. The guidance was 530 million, and the stated net income was close to 570 million, which adjusted is more than 700 million. On page seven, just a quick reminder of many figures, but just to show how we are well on track towards our target on 2024, as well as we are already better than 2019 results, which were the best results before 2021, previous to the pandemic. As you can see on the left side, the investment product sales went up from 14 billion in 2019 to 18 billion in 2021, with a target in 2024 of 19.6 billion. So the vast majority of the roadmap is already done, as well as for asset under management net inflow, which were negative in 2019 and are now up to 3.4 billion with a target of 4.4 billion in 3 years' time. Asset under management stock was up from 58 billion to 65 with a target of 78 billion in the next 3 years. New lending after the spike of 2020, thanks also to the loans guaranteed by the state, which amounted to 27 billion. We are now again on top of 2019 results, up to 22.7 billion, with a target of 26 billion in 2024. Gross NPE, as I mentioned before, 5.6% vis-à-vis 9% in 19 and 4.8% in 24, as well as, again, cost of risk and common equity, which I already mentioned before. Also, in terms of the main operating figures, it's good to mention that in the roadmap from 19 to 24, we are more on the side of the target rather than the starting point, both considering total revenues, where we are at 4.469 million, with a target of 4.3 billion in 23 and 4.6 billion in 24. The same is for core revenues and operating costs, which are very close to the target we wanted to reach with the business plan. Net income, again, 569 million with adjusted 700 million and the target in 23 of 740 million and more above 1 billion in 2024. Also, in terms of asset quality, as we mentioned before, we have now reached 6.4 billion. Let's just remember that 5 years ago, when we had the merger, we were more than 30 billion of NPE, and 2019, 10 billion, 2020, 1 year ago, 8.6 billion. So 2.2 billion further de-risking in during 2021. The target is 6 billion, but as we will soon see, there is already a further billion of the risking which will be executed by the first half of 2022, which should bring the bank below the target of 2024. Also in terms of coverage, both bad loan, UTP and NPE coverage are above the figure of 2019. NPE ratios 5.6%, down from 7.5%, with a target of 4.8%. In terms of capital, starting from 11.4 in 2016, we are now with a stable above 13%. We had the target of 13 for this year. We are now 13.4% with the expected 14.4 in 2024 at the end of our strategic plan. Let's remember that in our outlook we didn't consider the Basel IV impact of around 80 basis points, but at the same time we consider this headwind to be progressively offset by the decrease in DTA impacting Common Equity Tier 1. The SREP requirement is unchanged for 2022, so that we have a comfortable Common Equity Tier 1, both in terms of versus minimum requirement, 490 basis points, and in terms of MDA buffer, 470 basis points. Our liquidity position is really comfortable, above 200% in terms of LCR and above 100%, well above 100% as in the NSFR. Let's also mention some of the key points of our business plan and where we stand respect to this important issue, starting from the bank assurance that you know is one of our key points of the strategic plan. We have already activated 8 work stream supported by industrial advisor in order to potentially anticipate the integration of the insurance business, especially with respect to the BPM Vita, in which, as you know, we have the possibility to anticipate from 2023, also in 2022, the integration of this company. We have also already in place a plan in order to align the product range, the commercial offer of BPM Vita with Vera Vita in order to be ready to integrate both the insurance company by 2023. In terms of SME Center, you will remember that we announced that we would have activated many points closer to our client, especially where the presence of the branch of the bank is not that strong, and we can announce that starting from the 1st of February, we opened 135 business points with 67 new responsible for SME Center, and more than 450 relationship managers dedicated to the development of 75,000 clients, 45,000 of which in the range of customers with the turnover from 5 to 75 million and 30,000 clients below 5 million but with a strong opportunity and possibility to grow faster. In digital banking, we have launched, since the announcement in November of the business plan, the new app dedicated to the SME and business client. We have more than 400,000 clients enrolled in digital identity. This means that we can switch in a completely paperless offer with this client once, of course, they are enrolled with this feature. 20% of total sales are already driven by advanced analytics. Digital transactional activity is well above average of the market, and I think most important, our app-based transaction are due to overcome in 2022 the branch-driven transaction. When I say app, I mean only app transaction. Of course, as we know, the total remote transaction is already 83% of the total transaction of the bank, but is very much important in my view to underline that app has been developing at a very strong pace, as much as the branch-driven transaction have been reducing 4 times in the last 2 years. Also in terms of ESG, we have joined the United Nations Global Compact. We became a supporter of the TCFD. We have been included in the ESG Index and the Bloomberg Gender Equality Index. We have nowadays lending policy completely integrated with ESG factor for all our sector, as well as we have integrated the risk identification process and the climate risk materiality assessment. On top of that, we have set up two new units in HR, one devoted to inclusion, diversity, and social, the other one to the development of key people and talents. Let's have a look now to some of the main figure of our 2021 results. I would start on the left, the adjusted figure, just to compare with the sound figure also in 2020. We have grown net interest income by 3%, net fees and commission by 15%, core revenues almost 10%, and together with NFR, 7.6% of total revenues. Operating costs have been increasing in respect to 2020, but like for like, if we exclude from 2020 exceptional items due to the COVID pandemic, we are minus 0.9%. Pre-provision income are up 14.7%, and of course, after a much lower impact on the loan loss provision, we end up to profit from continuing operation before tax at 1.2 billion vis-à-vis half these figures in 2020. Net profit is 870 million, which lead us after systemic charges to 700 million of adjusted. The stated, of course, is 570 million. The main differences are below the pre-provision income, and I would say part of these are related to the de-risking anticipation upfronting the provision for de-risking, upfronting the valuation on real estate asset, and on the other side, taking advantage from the fiscal impact on some accounting principle in real estate. On page 13, there is the quarter comparison. Let's just me stress how consistent are in the last four quarters the core revenues and the total revenues of the bank, which now are not anymore volatile as maybe we used to have during the first year of the merger. Nowadays, I think there is a strong consistency, which give us a lot of confidence in the increase in this figure quarter by quarter. In terms of balance sheet, we are still continuing to grow in volume, starting from core customer loans, which are up in 1 year 1.1%. If we consider the growth since 2019, the CAGR is 4.5%, which is higher of the 3.1% of our business plan 21-24. Loans guaranteed by state, also in this respect we grew, of course, since 2019 from 2.7 billion to more than 18 billion, of which 16.7 billion are related to COVID measure with an average guarantee of 85% from the state. Customer deposit continuing to go up until the last quarter of 2021. These first months we are having some reduction, especially in relation to corporate and enterprise current account, in which we are experiencing a reduction of around 2 billion during these first 40 days of 2022. As you know, our expectation is to further reduce these figures, both for the reduction of the current account linked to corporates, but also with the conversion in further asset under management, which, as you can see on the bottom right, grew about 5.6 billion during the last year, with a net inflow of 3.4 billion, leading to the growth which should bring us to the target of 78 billion in 2024. Net interest income on page 15, year on year is up 3%. If we consider the quarter, there is a reduction of 2%. If we exclude the reclassification of a one-off of 5.8 million, the reduction QoQ is only 0.9%. Let's also consider that QoQ we had 10 million of lower contribution from bond portfolio from Italian govies. This was due to important sales that we performed between Q3 and Q4 of 6.2 billion. To which we have to add further disposal for more than 2 billion forward disposal, which will be take place during 2022. Let me only also stress that also in this respect we think we have done a very good maneuver, because basically we have sold at very high level when the yield were lower, and nowadays we have the opportunity with this growing yield to rebuy and restock and reconsider our stock of govies with a good increase which is forecasted in 2022. The commercial spread has been at a good level respect to previous quarter, 1.76% as far as the asset spread is related, 1.13% in terms of commercial spread, driven especially by the further reduction to minus 57 basis points of the Euribor. Let me anticipate that the sensitivity to a rate increase in Q4 21 of 100 basis point was about 430 million of increase in NII. Page 16, net fees and commission, very strong not only in respect to 2020 but also with a combined growth of 3.2% starting from 2019, year on year is almost 15% of growth, 19% related to asset under management and 11% to commercial banking fees. Also the quarter was very sound with a total amount of 485 million, 2.2% higher than Q3, especially driven by commercial banking commission, notably related to new lending, traditional banking activities such as payments, trade finance, and other related services. The investment product placement started at 1.5 billion in January 2022, we are confident that we can reach our target for 2022, which are slightly higher of the total sales of 2021. Let me also remind that in the full year 2021, a very important part of the management of advisory fee growth was due to the running component, which are also the key item for growing to the pace of the strategic plan, and in 2021 we grew of 52 million year on year in running fees, which is higher of the pace embedded in our plan. At operating cost level, on page 17, as you can see, we have a combined growth since 2019, combined reduction of 1.7%. Of course, there is a growth vis-à-vis 2020, in which we had a lot of extraordinary components. Normalizing these components, we still have a reduction of almost 1% year on year. In terms of quarter expenses, we have no major change. I would say just a slight increase, especially in general cost, also for the increase of oil and electricity bills. The headcount, we are down to 20,400 people. The vast majority of the people involved in the early retirement scheme left the bank by end of the year. Of course, the positive effect of the savings related to this reduction will be due during 2022, in which we will have only due to these people leaving the bank a further reduction of 80 million, partially compensated by increase in salary and some one-off that also in 21 we got for the pandemic. Also, the network is leading toward 1,300 branches. We are now to 1,427, and we expect with the growing digital that I showed before that we will be ready also for this target. On page 18, we have some focus about loan loss provision. Lots of numbers. I would say on a stated basis, we passed from 122 basis points to 81 basis points of cost of risk, 33% of reduction. On an adjusted, we will be down to 63 basis points, starting from 99 basis points. An adjusted basis is only related, excluding the provision upfronted for the de-risking. We also would like to communicate the core cost of risk, which is further down to 55 basis points if we do not consider also some non-core elements due to the tightening of stage 2 criteria and model change related to the increase of stage 2, which passed from 6.8 billion to 11.7 billion. The migration rates are good, 1%, slightly below 1% default rate, 9% danger rate, and a record 20% workout rate, which include cure, cancellation, write-off, and recoveries. Some words also on moratoria on the bottom right side of the slides. As you know, since the 1st of January, moratoria completely expired. As a matter of fact, we had 2.2 billion still expiring end of January, in the sense that the installments were due by end of January, and we have very positive results, basically almost completely paid also for this respect. We still have further 1.3 billion due by March and June, but with a very low default rate up to now, which is 1.5%. Let me also say that the total position still outstanding, which had the advantage to exploit the moratoria, are concentrated in the best rating classes for 83% of the total. On page 19, some figure related to the announced further de-risking. We think we can complete by the presentation of the first quarter this transaction. Of course, we don't know if the closing will be done by then, but for sure we will have some final figure. Let's anticipate that the total amount would be around 1 billion, leading the NPE from 6.4 to 5.4 billion, and with an NPE ratio
from 5.6% to 4.8%, which occasionally is also the target that we have for 2024. Under EBA definition, with this transaction, we should go down to 3.7%. This also the further disposal, of course, are also considering the possibility to reduce furtherly the impact of calendar provisioning in 2022. On page 20, some consideration about liquidity, govies, and funding. As you see, of course, the bank is in a very comfortable liquidity position. As I mentioned before, we have sold more than 6.6 billion in the before the Q4 2021 and 2.5 forward sales for 2022. Of course, this allowed us to capitalize some NFR in 2021 and some consistent NFR also in 2022, but most of them was a very good timing due to the high spike in yield that we are experiencing during this week, which will allow us to reinvest a large amount of about 12 billion of govies during 2022. Of course, part of it has already been completed during these days. Nowadays, we have 81% of the Italian govies portfolio concentrated under ASTC. And we are below 50% of Italian govies in respect to the total govies portfolio. Let's also stress that also the sensitivity of the basis point value of HTCS Italian govies is 600,000 euro per basis point. In terms of funding, of course, due to the situation of currently going on about the rates, we have not yet decided what we'll do with our TLTRO. Of course, initially we had the intention to reimburse a good part of it by June this year. We will carefully considering what to do, taking of course trying to exploit all the opportunities to have also without the premium of 50 basis points, which will expire in June this year, the opportunity to a potentially good funding spread in relation to the investment opportunities that we will see in the market. In any case, we don't think that we have a major issue in terms of bonds issuing. We have already done, as you know, a Tier 2 emission of 400 million. We are left with more or less 1.2 billion of senior unsecured, and if we have the opportunity, if we see a good market opportunity, also for an AT1 emission of 300 million. On page 21, again, what we have done in terms of key achievement of ESG during the Q4 and this first month of 2022, I think I already mentioned all these items before. I leave these slides for you. And finally, on page 22, there is the capital generation, the capital work starting from 2020. As you can see, also in 2021, we had to consider 95 basis points of regulatory headwinds, which brought basically our starting point to 12.3, and thanks to the organic capital generation, both in terms of net profit and RWA reduction, and also considering the dividend distribution and AT1 coupons payment, lead after some management balance sheet management to a comfortable 13.4 fully phased, which is 14.7 phased in. As you remember, the target is 14.4 for 2024, and again, we don't think there will be any impact, material impact from Basel IV, thanks to the transformation of the DTA. On page 23, some consideration about shareholder remuneration. We know that is always an important issue for the market. We have presented our business plan in beginning of November. We were the first bank to present our strategic plan, and of course we had ahead of us the fourth or the fifth wave of the COVID, with the new Omicron, with some uncertainty about the pandemia. Now we can say that the confirmation of the positive macro that we are seeing during the last weeks, and coupled with the industry trend, and on our side on the achievement of the strategic of the results, which are leading to the target that we have for our plan, we think that all of that, together with the consideration that we saw also from our competitors, can give us further significant increase in shareholder remuneration. We made just as a scenario the possibility to reduce for 2024 the Common Equity Tier 1 ratio from 12.5 to 13%, with still a very comfortable buffer from 400 to 450 basis points. This will give us the opportunity to have a cumulative shareholder remuneration for 2 billion with a payout of 70% for our shareholder. Again, this is for the time being just a scenario consideration, but we think that what we have already decided for this year can leave us the opportunity to reconsider in the future if we can still perform as well as we have done this year, and continuing exploiting the opportunity leading to the 2024 results. On page 24, just a quick recap. So a very good news, the possibility to have a better remuneration for our shareholder, higher than the guidance, thanks to the strengthening of core operating profitability, thanks to the further improvement in NPE and the possibility to further the risk in the bank in 2022, the good and sound capital position, but strengthened by the capital generation we were able to build up year by year during these last 5 years, and the over-delivering, of course, the guidance also in terms of net profit and EPS at 38 cents versus 35 cents that we announced last year. Again, all the management team and our network has full confidence in achieving the results of our plan, and we feel these results can give us the opportunity to further increase shareholder remuneration over the plan horizon. Thank you, and I leave to your question.